Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
School District Needs Subs by Ruth Campbell. For Carver Early Education Center coach Olga Salazar, substitute teaching proved the perfect gateway to the career she has now. Salazar, who has been with Ector County ISD for 7 to 8 years, earned a bachelor's in kinesiology from University of Texas Permian Basin and is pursuing a master's degree. But it was a long and winding road. When she got out of high school, she studied to be a paralegal at Odessa College, but she didn't like what she was going to school for. Salazar worked a variety of jobs, but her hours got cut when she was working in human resources for an oil field-related company and decided to go back to school and went for her kinesiology degree. She and her husband have 4 children, 2 teenagers and 2 younger children. "It just interested me, knowing about the body," Salazar said. "I always volunteered coaching for soccer for my daughter, for my boys. It was just something that I always did. So I felt like I would be great at it, and I have loved it since." As a substitute, Salazar said she liked being able to pick the days she worked because it helped her focus on her schoolwork. She said it's harder salary-wise, but you know the result will be beneficial. An athlete as a youngster who still enjoys running, Salazar added that she never would have thought in a million years that she would be a coach. "I never would have thought I would have ended up as a coach or working around kids," she said. "It's really awesome. I wouldn't change it for the world." ECISD Human Resources Director Elaine Smith and Executive Director of HR Stacy Ashley are hoping they can find more like Salazar or spark those who need jobs into coming to work for ECISD. Recently, they had 101 substitute teaching jobs that were not filled. Smith said they have been advertising on social media and contacting churches to put notices in their bulletins for subs. Before Thanksgiving, Smith said they also sent emails to campuses asking them if there were people they knew who might be a good fit for substitute teaching. "I'll also be reaching out to UTPB and OC and asking them to reach out to their students and get this information to their students," Smith said. She added that they are also taking advantage of the chamber to give information to families that are moving to the community to see if anyone might be interested in subbing. The district conducts 2 virtual substitute orientations a month. The next ones are coming up January 7th and January 21st. Previously, there was 1 orientation a month. Smith said an uncertified sub earns $104 a day and a certified substitute earns $125 per day. "It does allow us to plan forward and be very strategic in our efforts to attract and recruit substitutes," Ashley said. "Everybody's coming, and they're very interested in helping children and working for our district. The good thing about this is it allows us to be efficient and strategic because these folks who are coming in to be substitutes for us, many of them wind up being our full-time teachers the next year or several years beyond, because they find that they have a love of teaching and a love of students, and this allows them to see that love and experience that. They can actually get into the classroom and find whether they like to work with elementary, middle school, or high school kids. So getting them in here early, attracting them and recruiting them and retaining them is our ultimate goal," Ashley said. She said some of the substitutes did not come back this year because they are staying at home working with their own children in a virtual setting. "Some of our substitutes were full-time moms, and when the kids went to school, they went to sub, but many of those ladies and gentlemen are now at their home, and they are actually working with their own children remotely while they receive instruction from our teachers who are still in the building." Another reason for the need for subs is that ECISD hired 50 subs from last year who had bachelor's degrees. "We actually hired them into the classroom, so they are full-time teachers right now, making a teacher's salary because they passed the test and they've become certified," I say this is a win-win because they started out with us in the substitute program. They found that they had an interest. They then went and either went back and got their degree or they became certified, and we were able to hire them. So it's almost like a grow your own from substitute to a full-time teaching position. So that's another reason why our sub pool went down a little bit, Ashley said. She added that no one has told the office that they are scared to return to work because of COVID-19. And she said people who are out may be off on personal days or some other reason unrelated to the disease, such as having to stay home with a sick child. Smith said Superintendent Scott Murray and the school board gave each campus a temporary replacement sub or a permanent sub to have on campus as long as they are needed. The larger the student enrollment at a campus, the more permanent subs they are allotted. So, for example, a small campus that only has 400 students enrolled may receive one permanent sub to use in any way they might need for that day or multiple days, Ashley said. But a campus as large as our comprehensive high schools, Odessa High and Permian, they have a larger student enrollment, almost 4,000 students, so they may have as many as 8 at their campus who are allotted for them to use. That's new. That is something that we heard the need, and Dr. Murray and the rest of our folks here at the administration building and our board were very supportive in putting that in place for this year, Ashley added. Asked if they need more teachers, Ashley said the teachers at ECISD are giving 150% this school year. It's been amazing. I've never seen anything like it. They are there for the kids morning, noon, and night. Teachers have a different mode or a method of teaching depending on what the parents and the students choose as far as face-to-face, hybrid, or virtual. That may change or alter based on what the parent and student choose, so we have to be very strategic in our planning and very flexible, if you will. A regular employee. For the first time this year, she added, Murray and the school board have allowed them to start a new position called an instructional facilitator. An instructional facilitator is actually someone who may or may not be working toward their education certification. They are in the classroom under the guidance of a highly qualified teacher, and they are working with students in the elementary, middle, or high school. They are actually getting benefits. They are on a salary. They have a contract. They're placing money into teacher retirement just like a regular employee would because they are part of our ECISD team, Ashley said. She added that this has been immensely helpful because most of them are working toward getting certified in the area they're teaching. Ashley noted that ECISD is one of many districts across the state that has teacher and substitute teacher shortages. She added that what makes ECISD different is that it has a strategic plan, and its number two goal is to invest in talent. We see substitutes as part of that goal, Ashley said. I think we have a really good plan of action. It's proactive. It's strategic. It's long-term. It's not going to happen overnight, so we are certainly moving in the right direction because we have people like our school board that's on board, our superintendent, our community members. That is absolutely essential in keeping us moving forward. It takes us all. Obituaries for Sunday, January 3rd. Jason Michael Tandy, Arlington. Jason Michael Tandy passed away Sunday, December 20th. He is survived by his wife, Samantha Lee Tandy, his parents, Michael and Nelda Tandy of Glen Rose, his brother, John Tandy, sister, Jennifer Jimenez, a niece and a great-niece, his father and mother-in-law, David and Michelle Edwards, brother-in-law or brother-in-love, David Edwards and wife Allison, and a niece and other nieces and nephews. Jason was born in Fort Worth, May 26, 1975, and graduated from Permian High School in Odessa in 1993. He married Samantha in 2007. The family will have a private graveside service after the first of the year in Glen Rose and a celebration of life service early in 2021. Arrangements are by Wade Funeral Home in Arlington. Stephen Lloyd Warden, Presidio. Stephen Steve-O Warden, 27, of Presidio, formerly of Hobbs, New Mexico, and Odessa, was born July 27, 1993, in Hobbs, and passed away in Presidio December 21st from a motor vehicle accident. Surviving him are his mother, Jennifer Warden, and her fiancé, Alan Witherspoon, of Odessa, father, Patrick Warden, and wife, Joy, of Wiggins, Mississippi, his sister, Sierra Warden, and partner, Edgar Cardenas, and several nieces, his girlfriend, Joanna Santos, and her daughters, his papa, Lloyd Warden, and wife, Beverly, of Carnes, Mississippi, an uncle and aunt, and numerous cousins. He was preceded in death by his mama, Debbie Warden, grandmother, Vicki Sullivan, an uncle, and several cousins. Memorial services will be held Monday, January 4th at 10 a.m. at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home in Odessa. COVID restrictions are in effect. Masks are required but not furnished. Please visit the webpage www.sunsetodessa.com to leave condolences, flowers, etc. on Stephen's webpage. Richard C. Abalos. Richard Covarrubio Abalos, 77, died December 12th. He was born in Rankin to Angela and Lasario Abalos, July 4th, 1943. He married Delma Dora Jimenez, November 4th, 1978, in Odessa. Richard is preceded in death by his mother, Angela Abalos, his father, Lasaro Abalos, and stepmother, Consuelo Abalos, brothers Paul Abalos and Basilio Abalos, and sister Eustolia Abalos Ortiz, and brothers-in-law Rodolfo Ortiz and David Black. He is survived by his wife Delma, children Angel Abalos, A. Feliz Abalos, and spouse Sean DeWitt, Andrea M. Storn, and husband Ryan, two grandchildren, his brothers, Frank Abalos and wife Frances, Lasaro Abalos and wife Maria, Rosendo Abalos and wife Yolanda, George Abalos, Jesse Abalos and wife Angie, Johnny Abalos and wife Dorina, Celso Abalos and wife Mary, Lupe Abalos and his sisters, Linda Rojas and husband Frank, Martha Black, Victoria Dominguez and husband Marcelino, sister-in-law Pilar Abalos, as well as many brothers and sisters-in-law and nieces and nephews. Memorials may be given to the Odessa College Foundation, where he has an endowed scholarship, or Basin PBS. A public viewing will be held Sunday, January 3rd from 1 to 7 p.m. Masks are mandatory and social distancing is required. The family will not be present during those hours due to COVID-19. There will be a private family burial Saturday, January 9th in Rankin. A celebration of his life will be held in 2021, and the family hopes to see everyone there. Linda Ann Shadley Donham. Linda Ann Donham, 68, of Odessa, passed away at ORMC December 28th. Due to concerns of COVID-19, a private service for immediate family will be held. Linda was born in San Angelo to Leland and Ann Shadley. She married David in 1973. She is survived by her husband of 47 years, David, sons Sam Donham of Odessa, Walter Donham and wife Angie, her brothers Kevin Hale of Richmond, Virginia, and Rick Hale of Kailua, Hawaii, sisters Della Palmer of Crum, Darlene Gibson of Seattle, Washington, and Deborah Hale of Fort Worth. She's also survived by two grandchildren and several nieces and nephews. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be made in Linda's honor to Peeps and Creeps, an animal sanctuary. 8535 West Highway 158, Midland, 79707. Billie Jean Lively, El Paso. Billie Jean Lively passed away in her sleep November 24th. She was born Billie Jean Vandiver to Charles and Gertrude Vandiver, September 26, 1930, in Monroe, Louisiana. She married Dr. Bill Lively, DDS. Billie Jean is survived by her sister, Marie Woody of Stanton, and her children, Jean and Dr. Robert Henderson of El Paso, Janelle and Carrie Pate of Lubbock, Dr. Charles and Melanie Lively of Odessa, and Mark and Jenny Lively of Ruidoso, New Mexico. Along with her sister and four children, she is survived by eight grandchildren and nine great-grandchildren. Expressions of sympathy may be shared at www.martinfuneralhomewest.com for the Lively family. Veda Ruth Hibden Penn. Veda Ruth Hibden Penn, 85, of Odessa, passed away Saturday, December 19th. She was born in Bigfoot, May 4th, 1935, to the late John Barry Hibden and Murdy May Jones. She married Jimmy C. Penn in 1952. Veda was preceded in death by her husband of 65 years, Jim, her son, Doug Penn, sisters, Mamie May, Myrtle Lee, Vivian, and Henrietta, and brothers John, Vernon, William, Lawrence, Lyle, and Jean Donald. Surviving her are her children, Cecil Penn and wife Shirley of Arlington, Mike Penn of Odessa, Mark Penn and wife Gina of Odessa, Clint Penn of Longview, and Sarah Penn Mangus and husband Kenny of Odessa, as well as many grandchildren and great-grandchildren. No services have been scheduled at this time. Arrangements are entrusted to Acres West Funeral Chapel, and condolences to the family may be sent online at acreswestfuneral.com. Lester Albert McCullinka. Lester Albert McCullinka, 83, of Bentonville, passed away Monday, December 28th. He was born March 28th, 1937, in Hallettsville to Adela Marek McCullinka and Tom McCullinka. He married Faye Jeanette Schwenk December 14, 1957, in Lubbock. He was preceded in death by his parents, wife, and two brothers, Wilbert and Gilbert. Lester is survived by his daughter, Pat Holden, and husband, Ken of Bentonville, sister, Bernice Thomas of Lubbock, a grandson and great-grandson of Forney. Burial will occur at Bentonville Cemetery in Bentonville, Arkansas, on Thursday, January 7th, 2021. Arrangements are by Epting Funeral Home of Bentonville. Condolences may be sent to www.eptingfuneralhome.webs.com. Cheryl Wagner Nichols. Cheryl Nichols, 66, of Odessa, was passed away December 22nd. She was born to R.G. and Charlene Wagner, September 16, 1954, in Odessa. She is survived by her sons, Dustin Nichols, daughter Barbara Nichols Cheney, her mother Charlene Wagner, brother Ronnie Wagner, seven grandchildren, and a cousin. She was preceded in death by her father and her grandparents. Visitation will be held at Acres West Funeral Chapel Sunday, January 3rd from 1 to 5 p.m. Condolences may be sent to the family online at acreswestfuneral.com. Alvaro Ramirez Mandujano. Alvaro Ramirez Mandujano of Cayanosa, passed away December 30th in Odessa. He was born to Tobias and Josephine Mandujano of Guanajuato, Mexico, June 11th, 1944. He married Cecilia Sanchez on May 11th, 1966, in Mexico. Alvaro is survived by his wife of 54 years, Cecilia Mandujano, his children, Jacqueline Dominguez, Rafaela Diaz and husband Ray, Tony and wife Mari, Alvaro Jr., Armando and wife Michelle, Beto and wife Veronica, Diana Ramos and husband JD, Jamie Porfirio, Jose and wife Clarissa, and Aiden and wife Lupe Mandujano, as well as many grandchildren. He was preceded in death by his parents, Tobias and Josefina Mandujano, also his brothers Alfredo, Alfonso, Juan, his sister Carolina, and a granddaughter. Viewing will be held Monday, January 4th from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. at Willowbrook Funeral Home in Midland, with rosary at 6 p.m. Funeral services will be Tuesday, January 5th at 12 p.m. at Our Lady of Guadalupe Shrine, with private burial in Fort Stockton. To place online condolences, please visit www.willowbrk.com. Lorenzia Luna Laura Ocon. Lorenzia Laura Ocon, 72, of Odessa, passed away Saturday, December 19th. Visitation will be from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Thursday, January 7th at Martinez Funeral Home Chapel. Funeral service will be at 2 p.m. Friday, January 8th at Martinez Funeral Home Chapel, with Dr. Jimmy Braswell officiating. Laura was the oldest child born to Ignacio and Francisca Ocon, August 10th, 1948, in Alpine. She is preceded in death by her daughter, Marianne Salcido, a son, Guadalupe Salcido, her father, Ignacio Ocon, her mother, Francisca Ocon, and sisters, Nancy Cantu and Lucia Chavarria. She is survived by her children, Camilo Salcido, Lucy, Anna Lincoln, Arnold Martinez, and Hugo Martinez, 16 grandchildren, 25 great-grandchildren, and one great-great-granddaughter. Arrangements are entrusted to Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory. You may send condolences by signing her guest book at www.martinezfuneral.com. Miriam Powell. Miriam Powell, 88, passed away December 23rd. She was born February 23rd, 1932, to James and Nettie Warwick in Garvin, Oklahoma, the youngest of 13 children. She married Miles Powell February of 1955. She was preceded in death by her parents, her husband Miles, sons Jimmy, Bill, and Bob, 9 brothers and 3 sisters. She is survived by her daughters, Cherina and Janie, 13 grandchildren, 15 great-grandchildren, 1 great-great-grandchild, and numerous cousins, nephews, and nieces. Viewing will be held at Odessa Funeral Home Monday, January 4th from 6 to 8 p.m., and services will be held at Sunset Heights Baptist Church Tuesday, January 5th, at 10 a.m. The family is requesting, in lieu of flowers, donations be made to Sojourner Ministries through Sunset Heights Baptist Church. https://www.sojournerministries.com/. Kenneth Sewell. Kenneth Dusty Sewell, 68, of Odessa, passed away December 30th. He was born in Monroe, Louisiana, to Bob and O.C. Sewell, August 7th, 1952. He married Ann Lucas in 1972, and they moved to Odessa. Dusty is preceded in death by his parents, Bob and O.C. Sewell, brothers Big Lonnie Sewell, Bobby Sewell, Little Lonnie Sewell, James Thumper Sewell, and a sister, Donna Hetherington. He is survived by his wife, Ann Lucas, children Jennifer and Brad Hawthorne, Jamie and Brian Ray, Dusty and Erica Sewell, O.C. Sewell, Chastity and Ben Bonstimler, and Patrick Sewell, sisters Peggy, Michelle Pumpkin, Roberta, brothers James, William, Billy, 13 grandchildren, one great-granddaughter, along with numerous family and friends. Funeral services will be held Tuesday, January 5th at 10 a.m. at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home in Odessa. COVID restrictions are in effect and masks are required. Death notices. Charlie Roman. Charlie Roman, 77, of Odessa, died Sunday, December 27th. Mass will be celebrated at 2 p.m. Tuesday, January 5th at St. Anthony's Catholic Church. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Alma Gloria Wilson. Alma Gloria Wilson, 54, of Odessa, died Monday, December 28th in Alpine. Mass is celebrated, will be celebrated at 10 a.m. Thursday, January 7th at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton. Burial will follow at Ector County Cemetery. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Billie Jean Wooten. Billie Jean Wooten, 71, of Odessa, died Sunday, December 20th in Galveston. A funeral service is scheduled for 2 p.m. January 5th at American Heritage Funeral Home. Burial will follow immediately at American Heritage Cemetery. Guadalupe Lupita Bennett Elizondo. Guadalupe Lupita Bennett Elizondo, 77, of Odessa, died Monday, December 21st. Mass will be celebrated Monday, January 4th at 10 a.m. at Holy Redeemer Catholic Church. Burial will follow at Ector County Cemetery, Odessa 2 section, with Father Fernando Bonilla officiating. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Eddie Fernandez. Eddie Fernandez, 78, of Odessa, died Wednesday, December 30th. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by American Heritage Funeral Home of Midland. Edward Aloysius McLean. Edward McLean, 89, of Odessa, died Monday, December 21st. Services will be scheduled at a later date. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Norma Linda Quezada. Norma Linda Quezada, 55, died Sunday, December 27th in Odessa. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Anna Anita Carrasco. Anna Carrasco, 90, of Odessa, died Thursday, December 17th. Mass will be celebrated at 10 a.m. Tuesday, January 5th at St. Anthony's Catholic Church. Burial will follow at Ector County Cemetery, Los Angeles section, with Father Frank Chavez officiating. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Artie Lee Sumrow Jarrett. Artie Lee Sumrow Jarrett, 90, of Midland, died Thursday, December 31st. A funeral service is scheduled for 1 p.m. January 6th at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens with Reverend Ty Koch officiating. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Monday, January 4th. Pastor dead, too hurt in shooting at Texas church. A pastor was killed and two other people were injured in a shooting at an East Texas church Sunday after the pastor confronted a man who had hidden from police in the church overnight, a local sheriff said. Authorities had been using dogs and drones to search for the man late Saturday in woods near Winona, following a car chase, and the pastor of the nearby Starville Methodist Church discovered him hiding in a church bathroom Sunday morning, Smith County Sheriff Larry Smith said at a news conference. Smith said he did not know why the man was initially being pursued, but that the license plates on his vehicle were fictitious. The pastor drew a gun and ordered the man to stop, Smith said, but the man grabbed the weapon and began shooting with it. The pastor was killed, a second person was injured by gunfire, and another was hurt in a fall. The man then stole the pastor's vehicle and fled east before being arrested by deputies in nearby Harrison County, Smith said. He said the man was hospitalized Sunday afternoon with gunshot wounds to his hand, but that it's unclear when he was shot. Smith declined to identify the pastor, the other people injured, or the suspect. The sheriff said the shooting suspect will likely face a capital murder charge. The shooting was reported around 9:20 a.m., and there were no services going on at that time, said Sergeant Larry Christian of the sheriff's office. Smith said the pastor, his wife, and two other people were in the church at the time. The man appears to have taken shelter in the church out of convenience, and there's nothing to indicate the shooting was motivated by religious animus, the sheriff said. Quote, "This is not a church-related, religion-related offense," said Smith. Governor Greg Abbott sent his condolences. Quote, "Our hearts are with the victims and the families of those killed or injured in this terrible tragedy," he said in a statement. It's unclear exactly when the man entered the church in Starville, near Winona, about 100 miles east of Dallas. Representatives of Starville Methodist could not be immediately reached for comment. Starville Methodist was built in 1853, according to the Texas State Historical Association. The shooting came a little more than a year after a gunman opened fire at a church near Fort Worth, killing two people before he was fatally shot by a congregant. Texas officials hailed the congregant's quick action, saying it prevented further killing and showed the effectiveness of the state's permissive gun laws, including a 2019 measure that affirmed the right of licensed handgun holders to carry a weapon in places of worship. That law was passed in response to the 2017 massacre at First Baptist Church of Sutherland Springs, where a man fatally shot more than two dozen people at a Sunday service before taking his own life. Since then, a cottage industry has sprung up in Texas and other states to train and arm civilians to protect their churches using the techniques and equipment of law enforcement. COVID-19 news by the numbers. Editor's note, Ector County last updated COVID-19 numbers Tuesday afternoon. Ector County total cases, both confirmed and probable, 11,543. Ector County negative, 37,671 out of 49,695 tested, with 481 pending, 181 deaths. Recovered, 9,711. Active cases, 1,651. U.S. cases, 20,346,372 total confirmed, and 349,246 deaths. Find out more online at co.ector.tx.us or dshs.state.tx.us or the CDC website at tinyurl.com/TZTRJLF. Here are some Odessa American quick hits. The Ector County Appraisal District has sent out property tax statements and payments are due by February 1st. Those who own real estate and the mortgage company does not pay the taxes, those who owned a business January 1st, 2020, with assets that include inventory, furniture, fixtures, equipment, machinery, and or vehicles, and those who own a working or royalty interest in mineral property should have already received their statement. If not postmarked by February 1, 2021, the taxes will be considered delinquent and will accrue penalty and interest. Those who have not received a statement can call the appraisal district at 432-332-6834 or visit the office at 1301 East 8th Street. The Ellen Noel Art Museum at 4909 East University Boulevard has scheduled an exhibition, Betrothed, 250 Years of Wedding Fashion, from the Stephen Porterfield Collection through March 7, 2021. The event is free and open to the public. Museum hours are noon to 5 p.m. Tuesday through Sunday and from noon to 8 p.m. Thursday. First hours, noon to 1 p.m., are reserved for at-risk population. For more information, call Ashley Flores at 550-9696, extension 214, or marketing at noelartmuseum.org.
Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Monday, January 4th, 2021. Obituary, Shirley Ann Couch Hardaway, Odessa, Texas. Shirley Ann Hardaway, 85, passed from this life into the arms of Jesus on December 21st, following a brief illness. Shirley was born March 11, 1935, in Des Moines, Iowa, to the late Raymond C. Couch and Sarah Margaret Hartshorn Couch. Shirley was preceded in death by her parents and husband, as well as two sons, Richard Hardaway and Ray Hardaway, two grandsons, Matt Hammond and Gerald Plumley, and two great-grandchildren, Sarah Elizabeth Myring and Jude Michael Hammond. Left to cherish her memory are daughter Jeannie Plumley and husband John, daughter Susie Hammond and husband Mike, daughter-in-law Jill Hardaway, daughter-in-law Susan Hardaway, her grandchildren and great-grandchildren, as well as numerous other family members and friends. A memorial service to celebrate Shirley's life is scheduled for January 9, 2021 at 2 p.m. at Southside Baptist Church in Monahans. The service will be under the direction of Harkey Funeral Home with Josh Reef officiating. Memorials may be made to Southside Baptist. Shirley spent the final 2 years of her life at Brookdale Sherwood Assisted Living in Odessa. The family would like to express thanks to the staff members there, as well as to the staffs of Odessa Regional Medical Center and Madison Medical Resort in Odessa, both of which provided compassionate care for Shirley during her final days. Visit our website, harkeyfunerals.com, to sign the guest book or leave a personal note for the family. Funeral arrangements are under the direction of Harkey Funeral Home. Death Notice. Beatrice Olivas, Odessa. Beatrice Olivas, 59, died Wednesday, December 30th, 2020, in Odessa. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Monday, January 4th, 2021. Opinion. National View. Nursing home patients are dying of loneliness. The Point. As the vaccine rolls out in nursing homes, more visits should be allowed. When she had the routine of home, Angie Sinopoli was the talkative matriarch of a large Italian family who heaped praise on her children and grandchildren, even as her memory faded. Her youngest son, Stephen, came by her house and cooked her dinner nearly every night. But after a couple of falls and bouts in rehabilitation centers, she ended up in a Syracuse nursing home on March 10th. 2 days later, it stopped all visits to protect residents from the coronavirus. Mrs. Sinopoli hasn't seen family in more than 9 months. Her vocabulary has dwindled to about 20 words. Early in the pandemic, the ban on visitors in nursing homes was understandable. It was vital. More than 35% of coronavirus deaths in the United States have been linked to nursing homes and other long-term care facilities. But as the pandemic drags on, and as nursing home patients get vaccinated, strict prohibitions on visits are taking an unnecessary toll on patients, particularly those with dementia who rely on routines and familiar faces to ground them. Chronic loneliness increases the odds of an early death by about 20%, according to the 2008 book, Loneliness, Human Nature, and the Need for Social Connection. The stress hormones that come from feeling socially isolated can have as serious an impact on the human body as smoking or obesity, presenting such a public health crisis that the British government appointed a minister for loneliness in 2017. Social isolation because of the coronavirus in nursing homes has increased depression, weight loss, and other forms of physical deterioration, especially for Alzheimer's patients, who often need more help than understaffed centers can provide. We've lost part of the long-term care workforce by restricting families, Dr. Cheryl Zimmerman, co-director of the Program on Aging, Disability, and Long-Term Care at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill and the School of Social Work, said in an email. Sure, the risk of spreading COVID-19 or any other infectious disease is less when visitors are restricted, but the consequence of social detachment may be greater, and this is a serious risk. We've known for more than 40 years that isolation increases death. Families play an important role in the routine care of patients in long-term care homes, which often include feeding, grooming, and encouraging mental and physical exercise. Since the pandemic began, at least 5 states have expanded access for compassionate care visitors who are allowed in even when the general public is kept at bay. Minnesota eased restrictions on visits over the summer after medical examiners began listing COVID-19 social isolation as a cause of death or a contributing factor for patients in long-term care centers. In New York, State Senator Rachel May, head of the Committee on Aging, filed a bill in September after hearing from hundreds of constituents who were beside themselves with grief and worry after months of being blocked from seeing loved ones. At a hearing that inspired the legislation, the mother of a 9-year-old boy in a pediatric nursing home facility testified about the child's decline after he went months without a visit from the mother, who used to read to and play with him. "We are seeing actual deaths as a result of the isolation," said Dr. May, whose PhD is in Russian language and literature. Current guidelines for New York, issued by the Department of Health, allow limited visits in facilities that have had no coronavirus case for at least 14 days. But that hasn't helped the family of Mrs. Sinopoli, who is in the Bishop Rehabilitation and Nursing Center, a 440-bed facility that has not been coronavirus-free for the required length of time since the start of the pandemic, partly because it accepted coronavirus patients to lighten the load of hospitals. Although New York law specifies that virtual visits be allowed, the state's guidelines for in-person visits are seen as more stringent than those issued by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, a federal agency that sets standards for many nursing homes. Those national guidelines have allowed for, quote, compassionate care visits since the beginning of the pandemic, but the term was widely interpreted as referring to special visitation for patients on the verge of death. In September, the agency issued a clarification that compassionate care visits could also be used for patients in other situations, such as those who recently transitioned to a nursing home and have been traumatized by the sudden lack of family contact. Supporters of compassionate care legislation say asymptomatic staff members who work at more than one center, not visitors, have been the main driving force behind nursing home outbreaks. The current version of the bill expired on December 31st, but Dr. May said she intended to refile it in the new session. If it passes, the Department of Health would have 120 days to develop regulations to allow families to designate one visitor per patient to assist with, quote, mental, physical, or social well-being, end quote, if a medical health professional deems such visits necessary. The bill made sense in September when it was filed with the support of AARP New York. It makes even more sense now. The only downside is that waiting an additional 120 days feels excruciating to people like Stephen Sinopoli. The good news is that Mrs. Sinopoli has just gotten her first vaccine shot, raising hopes that a safe visit may soon be possible. On Christmas Day, Mr. Sinopoli dropped off some photographs for his mother at the nursing home. The nurse who brought them to her texted him afterward and told him that his mother held on to the pictures and would not let go. The New York Times.
To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach. Don't recall having chicken pox? Dear Dr. Roach, I am almost 88 years old. All 7 of my children came down with chicken pox at different times. I took care of them all and never contracted the virus. I didn't have it as a child or as an adult. Should I get the shingles vaccine? I have lupus and thyroid disease. I don't need to take medication for either of them anymore. I have had my yearly flu shot with no problems, and I take the double senior dose. I have been on self-quarantine going on 9 months to avoid the coronavirus. I am in good health. What are my chances of ever getting shingles? Is there a blood test I could take that would tell me if I ever had chickenpox and didn't know it? T.E. Answer. It is almost a certainty that you had chickenpox, probably as a small child, when occasionally the symptoms are so mild they are not recognized. Given the number of exposures you had, you would have come down with chickenpox if you had not been immune from previous exposure. Shingles comes not from exposure to chickenpox, but from a reappearance of the dormant virus, often at a time when the immune system is weaker. This can be at times of stress or just as we get older. At age 88, you are at relatively high risk, and if you got shingles, you are at high risk for complications. Although there is a blood test to determine whether you were ever exposed, in my opinion, and according to recommendations from the CDC, you don't need it. I'd recommend you get the shingles vaccine as soon as convenient.
This is Kay, reading the Odessa American for Monday, January 4th, 2021. Etc. Son helps himself to contents of grandfather's house. Dear Abby, my father passed away a few months ago. My brother lives out of state, so emptying the house has been up to me. Shortly after the funeral, my adult son, the only grandchild, arrived and loaded his car with all the toilet paper, paper towels, light bulbs, cleaning products, etc. He did it without asking, so I promptly had the locks changed. When I asked him about it, he said, "Grandpa doesn't need the stuff anymore." After months of packing by myself, we are now down to the furniture, and my son wants everything. He feels he's entitled to it. Rather than select one or two pieces, he is gimme, 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 and sees nothing wrong with this attitude. I didn't raise him that way, but he is that way now. What should I do? Greedy out west. Dear Greedy, although at this point it's a little late, what you should do is finally say no, unless your father stated specifically in writing that your son should get everything. What he did is considered stealing. Dear Abby, what the heck happens to men between the ages of 45 and 60? It seems the women thereafter are all 15 to 20 years younger. I don't mean just for sex, but for dating, love, and marriage, too. We middle-aged women are often overlooked because these middle-aged guys don't realize we are at our sexual peak and often hot as hell, and we're active in many interesting, fulfilling activities. By the time these men come to their senses, they are usually washed up and impotent. Why is nature and society so cruel and unfair? How can I, as a sexy, active, middle-aged woman, beat the odds? I do not intend to remain celibate and alone for the rest of my life. Still fun in the South. Dear Still Fun, you can't change other people, but you can change the way you react to them. A way to beat the odds would be to stop focusing solely on middle-aged guys and consider dating men a bit younger who appreciate what you have to offer. Even if it doesn't lead to marriage, you could have a lot of fun in the meantime. Dear Abby, we have a friend who often comes to us for advice, but never seems to take it. She keeps making the same mistake over and over again. How do we get through to her? Friends Who Care in Utah. Dear friends, candidly, realize you can't get through to her because she's not really seeking advice. Rather than listening, she's venting. Because of the friendship, listen when she dumps, but refrain from offering wisdom you know will be disregarded. Dear Abby, Abigail Van Buren, write Dear Abby at P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069, or visit www.dearabby.com.
Horoscopes. Happy birthday for Monday, January 4th, 2021. Direct, conceptual, and structured, you organize a mastermind of a success this year. An imaginative idea takes you a long, long way. You usually work best on your own, but you work brilliantly with others in 2021. If single, you must give up some control to really commit. This might not happen until 2022. If attached, the psychic link between you is becoming more vivid. Aries is amazed by you. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. Aries, March 21st to April 19th. 3 stars. A touch of confusion makes daily work rather hectic. Relax and regroup. A problem is less serious than it first seemed. Be gentle with your body. Time and the natural healing process can relieve minor maladies. Tonight, to bed early for a long, restful sleep. Taurus, April 20th through May 20th, 5 stars. Today transforms and uplifts your attitude about love. You recover from old heartaches and discover new sources of delight. Consider getting involved with a community theater during your spare time. Tonight, there's a new zest to your love life. Gemini, May 21st through June 20th, 4 stars. Simplify your schedule today. It's an interesting but hectic day. Use your artistic skills to make your residence more attractive. Background music played softly adds greatly to your hours at home. Tonight, a family member unexpectedly shares thoughts and feelings. Cancer, June 21st through July 22nd, 3 stars. Today begins with interesting gossip and intriguing ideas being expressed. Listen and learn, but don't be too easily swayed. Avoid noise pollution if stress builds. Strong wills and diverse viewpoints take you by surprise. Tonight, you must strive to resolve disputes. Leo, January 23rd through August 22nd, 3 stars. Today brings a more grounded mood. You will follow through with plans to assure security. Work is rewarding and stabilizing. You will feel very businesslike. Don't be overcritical of an employee. Tonight, get organized and keep up with obligations. Virgo, August 23rd through September 22nd, 4 stars. Today brings new ideas and goals to a partner. Be careful to follow all rules and regulations. Reading and planning is favored and aids in solving an old problem. Perfect skills. Enjoy your work. A new goal becomes important. Tonight, answer emails and calls first. Libra, September 23rd through October 22nd, 4 stars. Today allows you to resolve problems with grace and subtlety. You find pleasure in helping those who are sad, troubled, or disadvantaged. Volunteer opportunities can help you grow, but you also can do a lot of good through performing small kindnesses where needed. Tonight, rest. Scorpio, October 23rd through November 21st, 4 stars. You will know what you want most. Goals are redefined and clarified today. Don't feel sad if a friend drifts away. New associates will be drawn to you soon. You will be less interested in material security, more intrigued with other values. Tonight, online networking. Sagittarius, November 22nd through December 21st, 5 stars. A surprise might befall you at work. New career developments turn out to be a blessing. Co-workers are vocal and new colleagues appear. The spirit of cooperation assures success. You learn and heal while wandering new pathways. Tonight, studying is rewarding. Capricorn, December 22nd through January 19th, 5 stars. A softer trend emerges today and affects goals and priorities. It is an optimum time to crystallize plans and make commitments. People listen to your ideas with more patience and stress dissipates. Tonight, others trust and confide in you. Aquarius, January 20th through February 18th, 3 stars. Keep desires and compulsions balanced. There is an intensity present. Some new financial and investment strategies are worth examining to boost security. Love assumes a spiritual quality. Discuss concerns with others. Tonight, visit online with those dearest to you. Pisces, 5 stars, February 19th through March 20th. You will feel more loved and cherished, with others drawing closer to you. Any legal matters turn to your advantage. It is a marvelous time to form commitments and partnerships of all kinds. Tonight, you feel a heightened spiritual energy.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.